Hi everybody, I'm Deacon Dave.
I'm like person Lisa.
Why are you laughing at me?
Because you were pausing for so long.
Welcome to the
And
Deacon Dave.
like person Lisa show.
I wanted to make sure that it was recording, Lisa.
Don't know, maybe is it?
It's at the top. I was looking at the
Ah,
bottom.
okay.
You know, we've only been doing this podcast for like 9 months. Eight or nine months?
Since February, I
So it's
think.
been 8 months and I still don't know how to look at the recording device to see what I'm doing. Anyway, welcome back. We're going to start the second part of our eight-part series on Catholic social teaching. We're going to talk about the human person and the dignity of the human person. The main idea of Catholic social teaching is rooted in the belief that every human person has immense dignity. And this is the basis for all Catholic social teaching. A person is an end in and of himself or herself, never a means to gain something. So, dignity of human life is inherent in every single person because we're all created.
God chose all of us.
Exactly. And we're all created in His image. And so we have
And he has a
inherent.
plan for us.
Right. Okay. But every one of us has value and everyone has worth because of the incarnation, because Jesus poured Himself, God poured Himself into humanity. Because of that, the nature of each one of us is elevated. And it's hard to imagine that God is inside of each of us in the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Do you ever really think about that when you're living out your life?
Sometimes I think about like how we're like tabernacles for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that is really neat. Maybe we should be thinking about the fact that we're tabernacles all the time.
And we other people are tabernacles too.
Right. And if we did that, realizing that each person was a tabernacle,
The world would be a better place.
we probably changed the way we looked at people. So see, St. John Paul II, he said it this way. He said, "Person is a good towards which only proper and adequate attitude that we can have is love." Which is the Holy Spirit, right? Because the Holy Spirit is the love that runs between God the Father and God the Son.
Speaking of Holy Spirit, October 17th, there's a women's retreat, Love by the Spirit, right here at the St. Clair of Assisi Retreat Center. Sign up.
So the human person is the ultimate end of society. And remember we said earlier, a lot of times in a lot of places in the world, the human person is being used as an end to something else, instead of the reality that everything should be worked towards benefiting and helping each human person. How do you think we do with that, Lisa?
How do you think we do with that? Well, I mean, there's still like those countries that pay like children like pennies to like make things. So there's definitely some lack of dignity there.
Yeah, there's a lot of places in the world where people are being used in a way that doesn't uphold their dignity at the expense of someone making money or doing something else, and it's really very unfortunate. So really, when we look, you know, we talk about equality a lot, layperson Lisa. Really, equality rests in the dignity of each person. That's where our equality comes. It comes from the fact that we're all created in the image of God. We're all children of God. That's our equality. It's not something else. And sometimes the world really kind of gets that.
It's kind of that worldly view is not quite the same, huh?
Exactly. And so, but even though our equality is found, right, in our being formed in the image of Christ, we're all different. We all have different qualities
Different
and,
gifts,
right.
different talents.
And just because we have, you know, just because I'm good at math and you're not.
I'm actually good at math.
Okay.
I'm not good at definitions.
Okay. Although I'm good at definitions and you're not, it doesn't mean that your dignity should be any less, right? Or just because you're a better pharmacist than I am, it doesn't make you better than me, right? Because our equality is found in the God who created us. Isn't that nice? And we're
That is
all
nice.
members of the one body of Christ, right? But we all have our different parts and our different attributes. And for me, that's what makes the world go around. I mean, would you want to be like me? Don't answer that question. Never mind. I mean, if we were all the same, it would be very boring.
Yeah, I sure would.
There wouldn't be any fun at all. So this whole idea of dignity, and when you look at the church's teaching, it starts with the fact that life should be respected from the moment of conception to natural death. And in fact, I just did a homily earlier this week that started out the 40 days for life to end abortion.
Yeah.
And, you know, abortion is always a really tough topic because, and part of what I said in my homily, layperson Lisa, was is that we have to meet people where they are,
right,
with love, compassion, mercy, and understanding, mm-hmm, because that's exactly what Jesus would do.
Right.
And in fact, we just said we are tabernacles, right?
Right.
So sometimes we're the Jesus that those people who are going through a crisis pregnancy or difficulty, we're the ones they're meeting. The other part of this is to natural death. And so it's protecting the elderly and the vulnerable. And we've been hearing a lot about that, you know, with the virus over the last 6 months, right?
Oh, yeah. Like how they, some places I heard, and I don't know if this is true, are like withholding the ventilators from the elderly because they had less of a chance of survival.
That's not a good thing to do.
No.
And what it gets down to is every human being, basic rights for the basic things needed to live, food, water, comfort, shelter, those things are the very basics for any person in terms of upholding their human dignity. You know about capital punishment?
It's when people are sentenced to death, and
right,
they often appeal it multiple times, so it winds up costing taxpayers more than it would to just have someone have life in prison.
Before we go to capital punishment, I forgot to mention something.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we feel like as a society maybe that suffering doesn't have any,
oh, right, you wanted
any to, value. So I got a little ahead of ourselves there. But suffering in and of itself can have great value. And we're called to be compassionate. And compassion means, we always think about the passion of Christ, right?
Right.
And so that's, in passion we think, oh, I'm really excited about something.
Right.
But if you actually look at the root word of passion, it means
pain?
To suffer. Yes.
Ah,
very good,
interesting.
Lisa. But it means to suffer. So when you put compassion together, it means to suffer with.
Oh, very interesting.
Right.
Oh, wow.
So,
nice breakdown of that word, yeah.
So for us to be compassionate with someone means for us to suffer
with them. Yeah.
And you know, and that can be hard. It can be hard for the person that's, I mean, if you have an elderly parent or someone who's sick, it's really hard to suffer with someone. But that's what God calls us to do. And oftentimes, great things come out of great suffering.
Mm.
And what's the biggest example you could think of that, Lisa, you think?
Christ on the cross rose from the dead and saved us all.
So because of Jesus' suffering and dying on the cross, great suffering, taking on the sins of all humanity for all of time, about our salvation.
Yeah.
So through that suffering, something beautiful happened. Do you have any stories of suffering where you feel like a suffering helped you to draw closer to God or to have a better meaning or understanding of something in your life?
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like I tell this story all the time that, like, you know, I was at a low point in my life, and that's when I was, like, searching for God and not really knowing what to do. And then I heard about Crecio, and I had, like, an excitement in my heart that I hadn't felt before. And so through that, you know, low point in my life, I got to know Christ.
And suffering takes on a lot of different forms. I think a lot of times we think that suffering is, you know, I'm laying in a bed in a hospital, I'm in great pain. But suffering can be loneliness,
mm-hmm,
right? Which is sort of what you're experiencing, mm-hmm, or the sense of desolation, or you just don't know where to go. So this idea of suffering can take on many different forms. And I think part of what we're called to do is to ask God to enter into that suffering with us,
right,
because he's already experienced it on the cross. And so when we ask him to enter into it with us, you know, we then participate in the sufferings of Christ, like Paul said.
Mm-hmm.
So the sufferings of Christ on the cross were completed. But when we unite our sufferings with his, then we are participating in that. And it,
yes,
can be redeeming.
Yeah, that's like St. John Paul II's
Salvific Dolores. Yes.
Yeah.
If you haven't read that encyclical Salvific Dolores by St. John Paul II, you can go up to the Vatican website. It's good. So that's a little bit about suffering. Now let's talk about capital punishment.
Okay.
So do you think the church teaches that capital punishment is acceptable or not? It's a quiz question.
Acceptable in rare circumstances.
Right. So let's read the teaching on the church from the Catechism 2265. Okay.
Okay.
So it says here, these premises directly relate to the church's teaching on the death penalty, and that such legitimate defense is not only a right but a grave duty of those in authority who are responsible for the lives of others. Remember how we talked about the common good last week? To protect the common good, legitimate public authority has the right to impose punishment in due proportion to the seriousness of the offense.
Yes, yes. He said, criminals who are destructive of the community may be put to death.
Right, and the Catholic Catechism of the Catholic Church confirms this in paragraph 2267. The traditional teaching of the church does not exclude recourse to the death penalty. If this is the only possible way of effectively defending human lives against the unjust aggressor. So now here's the thing. Maybe many years ago, that may have been difficult to do. But if you go to In Evangelium Vitae, okay, paragraph 56, it says, okay, that as a consequence of the possibilities which the state has for effectively preventing crime, by rendering one who has committed an offense incapable of doing harm without definitively taking away from him the possibility of redeeming himself, the cases in which the execution of the offender is an absolute necessity are very rare, if not practically non-existent. Mm-hmm. So the church teaches that capital punishment is okay to protect the common good. Mm-hmm. But given the circumstances today, it's not hard to protect the common good.
Right, without.
So it's very interesting. I know all of these, the topics that we've talked about are hot button topics, but it's number one, human dignity of life.
Yeah.
You know, from the moment of conception to natural death. And really, I just want to comment on this. With everything that's going on these days, Lisa, uh-huh. It's really not only the beginning and the end of life, it is everything in between.
Oh, sure.
That we are to respect the equality, as we said, of every single human person, regardless of race, gender,
or like disability,
you name it, it doesn't matter.
Age.
God looks at us all exactly the same, and as tabernacles, mm-hmm. He calls us to do exactly the same. All right, I'm Deacon Dave.
I'm Layperson Lisa.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
The views expressed on the Deacon Dave and Layperson Lisa show are our own and not that of the Diocese of Richmond, nor any person or organization affiliated or doing business with the Diocese of Richmond.